Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we're broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Predators regular season finale tonight at Pittsburgh, putt drop at 6 p.m. So pregame coverage will start right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, starting at 5 p.m. Last game of the season, D-Mace, and the Predators had a back-to-back this past weekend and won both against teams that they should have beaten. Chicago yes. and Columbus back at home. They got the vets some rest. UC Soros got some rest. Lankin was in net against Chicago. So Predators took care of business over the weekend. They beat teams that they should have beaten. Now it all comes down to tonight against the Pittsburgh Penguins. Just 1 point, and they clinched that wild card one spot. But D-Mace is here. Willie Donick will join us later on in the show. He is in Pittsburgh. He's out at morning skate, so we'll get a recap of what Willie's seeing on the road once he joins the show about 12:30 or so. But D-Mace is here. D-Mace, how are we doing?
Hey, I'm doing well this morning. Bright and sunny and warm, it's just beautiful like I today. Like it. Man, oh, man. This is my type of weather. I'm happy. I'm happy now.
You and me both.
I don't need anything else. I got my tea.
There we go.
Got my sun.
Sunny.
Got the mics. Let's roll.
That's all we need. That is all we need. All right, we'll catch up with TD Teron Davenport at 1 p.m. We'll get TD's thoughts now that we are less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft. Next Thursday, the draft is going down in Detroit. So we'll get TD's thoughts on things that he's been hearing, some of his reaction from Brian Callahan, Nick Holtz, and Denard Wilson's press conferences. But D-Mace, like I said, we are just less than 2 weeks away from the NFL draft.
Get it over with.
You want to get it over with?
Yes, let's just get to it. All this stuff in the middle, let's ease it right to it. Let's start the draft tomorrow.
I'm not ready for it quite yet. I want a little bit
too
more
much
tea.
Nonsense go on.
I want more nonsense.
Okay.
I love the nonsense this time of year. It's lying and it's ridiculous stories, and we will continue to get into that. But I'm here for it. I know once the draft will come around, I'm like, okay, thank goodness. Like, I just need the draft. I need some action. I need to know who the Titans are going to take. I need who's going where and which quarterbacks are going to who. And is J.J. McCarthy hype really real, or is he just going to go off the board like in the third round? But for right now, I'm going to enjoy the nonsense and enjoy all
Might
of the
– Might as well.
Why not?
It ain't going to stop.
It's sunny, so why not? Why not?
It's not going to stop, so –
So this was a recent, this is where I want to start here, is on a recent mock draft from Mel Kiper and Field Yates. I would say the two most draft guru kind of guys at ESPN, they did a dueling mock draft. So let's get into it.
Let's do it.
First overall pick, Mel Kiper had the pick, Caleb Williams to Chicago. Any surprise there?
No, that's easy.
That's easy. That's just Sharpie that one in. Yeah. Don't even pencil it. Don't even write it in pen. Put it in Sharpie. Jaden Daniels, too, to the Washington Commanders. I think that you could deliberate Drake May at two or Jaden Daniels at two, but either way, one's going to go two and one is going to go three, which is exactly what Mel Kiper had at number three to the Patriots, Drake May. Number four, Arizona Cardinals, Field Yates had that pick, Marvin Harrison Jr. No surprise there.
No surprise, but this is where I think it can potentially get sticky because Monte Asafor. There has been rumblings about him. Hey, the pick is there for anybody to come up and move. So I don't have anything against the person, but the team may be not there. It may not be the Arizona Cardinals when they're ready to pick. But if they are there, then, yeah, Marvin Harrison Jr.
If they're there, I think it's Marvin Harrison Jr. Mm-hmm. If they're not, I think it's Minnesota or Denver or the Raiders or one of these quarterback needy teams that has talked themselves into J.J. McCarthy. And that is – and they want to try to leapfrog all the rest of these potentially quarterback needy teams or at least solidify themselves in a spot where they know for certain they'll be able to get their quarterback. I also don't think they'll have to trade up as high as four.
Nah.
Because the Chargers aren't taking a quarterback.
Yeah.
I don't think the Giants are going to take a quarterback. The Titans aren't taking a quarterback. Falcons, I don't believe, are going to take a quarterback. It's just saying Kirk Cousins.
Yeah.
So I don't think they would need to trade up as high as four. But like you said, D-Mace, the number fourth overall pick.
Is up for grabs.
It's up for grabs. Yeah. So Marvin Harrison Jr. to the Cardinals. And again, this is a dueling mock draft between Field Yates and Mel Kiper. 5. This is where things get interesting. Mm-hmm. The Chargers sit at 5. And I have viewed, and correct me if you feel differently, D-Maze, I have viewed the Chargers at 5 as the Titans' biggest threat to not getting Joe Alt. That we've heard a lot of stuff coming out from L.A., mm-hmm. whether it's Jim Harbaugh speaking publicly about how he wants to build through the offensive line, whether it's the Chargers tight ends coach talking about how they want to be an offensive line-centric team. Which is...
Yeah, every team should be an offensive line.
Hey, it's not wrong.
Centric team, exactly.
Not wrong, but it does feel like a suspicious amount of talk coming out from L.A. about the offensive line.
Yeah, this is, along with the fourth pick, these two picks I think are tricky picks because you don't know what each team is going to do. We know that Arizona is, they're willing to sell their pick mm-hmm. if the money's right or if the return is right. You look at the Chargers and what Jim Harbaugh is saying or what is coming outside of that building. I just can't see Minnesota moving up that far because – even if you look at it, I mean, there's other than if the Giants draft a quarterback, maybe, possibly, I can't see in this scenario the Vikings moving up and having to give up what they need to give up to get that whoever, more than likely, if they're moving up, they're trying to get a quarterback.
When it's, I don't believe it's very likely that the Giants are going to take a quarterback
exactly.
at 6.
Absolutely. That's why I'm thinking like, you would have to give up a lot just to secure. Now, maybe you're not competing with Minnesota in regards to a quarterback. Maybe you're competing with Denver. And Denver says, well, we want to move up. Mm-hmm. But I can't see any one of these teams moving up to that 5th pick knowing that, you know, the Giants don't need a quarterback. Titans don't need a quarterback. Mm-hmm. Atlanta doesn't need a quarterback. Chicago doesn't need a quarterback. They would have already picked their, you know, right. picked their quarterback first overall. I can't see them. And then the Jets at 10, they're not. So you're competing with who to move up to that spot? The Denver Broncos? Mm-hmm. Well, I think you wait and see because you don't want to give up too much. And then you move up. For nothing, really. You're going to get your quarterback, possibly, yes. But no one else was a threat to come and get that quarterback.
And Minnesota might be thinking, and Denver's probably thinking the
yes.
same way. If we don't move, someone else will.
Yes.
If we don't move up to secure our quarterback, then Denver will. Right. Or Minnesota will. Or whoever it might be. That might be the way that they're thinking. But I'm with you. If I'm Minnesota, I would have a really tough time justifying trading up from 11 to 5, mm-hmm. and so what the Chargers would get is the 11th overall pick, the 23rd overall pick, and a first-round pick next year. Mm-hmm. That is a hefty, that's 3 first-round picks. That is a hefty price mm-hmm. to get the 4th best quarterback in this
for
year's
a,
draft.
And you're getting, you're moving up to get up, to give up that much for a quarterback that it's like, it's not, none of these quarterbacks are truly a definite, but it just seemed like he came out of nowhere, even though J.J. McCarthy played good football. Mm-hmm. But I don't think any point of the season he was considered, you know, a top 10 pick or top 5 pick. It was just so happens Jim gets hired as the Chargers quarterback, I mean, head coach, and then all of a sudden this information and this, you know, this world tour of pubbing J.J. McCarthy's name, all of a sudden it starts to come out. That's why I just can't believe somebody's going to move up that far to get him.
3 first-round picks
yes.
for J.J. McCarthy.
He's not – if I wouldn't even give up 3 for Caleb Williams.
I probably wouldn't either.
3 for – no, I wouldn't.
Uh-uh.
I'm giving – I want a sure thing. If Joe Burrow was there, yes, give up 3. Mm-hmm. Even Trevor Lawrence. Yes, possibly, maybe.
But even at the time, because it's easy to say, oh, 3 first-round picks for Joe Burrow, for sure. Uh-huh. But even at the time, I think it was consensus Joe Burrow
exactly.
was the first overall pick, but there were even still questions about his baby hands. Uh-huh. There was still talk about Joe Burrow not being a sure
exactly,
pick.
But you saw his resume. You saw the resume.
Yeah.
And it was just, this guy's going to he's going to
be the first overall
he's
pick.
He's going to be the guy. He's going to be successful in the NFL. Yeah. He has all of the trademarks except the small hands. But everything else, he checks the box. I would have talked long and hard about giving up that for him or a Trevor Lawrence when he was coming out.
Yeah.
But J.J. McCarthy, I'm not giving – no. And maybe somebody talked themselves into doing it. I don't know. But that's a heavy load to give up for a quarterback that just – he's a good quarterback.
And the ceiling could be Kirk Cousins?
Yeah, it could be.
Which is a pretty good
ceiling. Which is a good – listen, I take Kirk Cousins just about every day, all day.
But – is that what you're willing
exactly.
to? Three first-round picks, that is make or break your job. Mm-hmm. That is altering the future of your franchise.
Exactly.
Are you sure that this guy is the guy? And if it is, if you're talking yourself into it, and you tell yourself, this is the future of our franchise, he will be our next Kirk Cousins for the next 10 to 15 years, then I guess, yeah, you could justify three first-round picks for your future, the future of your franchise. I'm just saying, that's not a move that I would make.
Yeah.
But I think that's best case scenario for the Titans.
Yeah, because then it moves the Chargers out of that spot. You would just assume that Oat is there for the taking. You know, but then again, you go back to Minnesota, you're giving up three first round. If you're giving up three first round draft picks or two, what you're essentially saying is that in your mind, he's the best player in the NFL draft. So you had to move up and give up those assets to get him. That's what Minnesota is basically essentially saying when having to give up that. But I know if you want to be successful in this league, you must have a quarterback. So I get it. So maybe it's not apples to apples in comparison of who's the better prospect in the whole draft. But when you give up that much, you are sort of kind of saying that that's what you believe.
If I own the Vikings – if my general manager says I'm giving up three first-round picks to pick J.J. McCarthy, I would say, you better believe it, better than franchise quarterback, or else that's on you.
Yeah.
Like, if that does, is a, my if thing is,
if it doesn't work in great, the first year, you're gone.
You're gone.
Yeah, you're gone.
So that would be a, you know, put your job on the line kind of move. But if that is something that Minnesota decides to do, that's the best-case scenario for the Titans.
Absolutely.
Because that is a quarterback taken before you that pushes more of these offensive linemen and wide receivers into your lap at seven. You can afford to be a little bit more flexible. Now, one thing, and this, of course, is just a mock draft. Mm-hmm. We know that this is not the Bible. We know that this is not a projection of what's to happen. It's just what we have to react to. I would have to think if Minnesota wanted to go to five, does that mean that the answer from the Titans would be no to move up to seven?
If Minnesota, you're saying if Minnesota wants to go to seven?
Uh-huh. And they picked up the phone and the Titans said, sorry, you know, the 11th overall pick and 23rd overall pick, it's not good enough for us to move down to 11.
Oh, man, I can't say that the Titans would be extremely out. It would just be a no.
Are you out on 11 and 23 if that was the offer on the table?
For them to move up to seven?
The Titans would swap with Minnesota. Minnesota to seven, Titans to 11, and then would also pick up the 23rd overall pick.
Yeah, I think I would do it.
I
think I would do it because now essentially you pick up an extra pick which you didn't have in the third round. Now you move that pick up. Now you have two picks in the first round. Mm-hmm. I would make that move because I can still, more than likely, you can do in a sense, but not on a greater scale, but in a sense you can do what Houston did. Houston got their quarterback and then they double back and they got their rush in. Mm-hmm. Their future, you know, their who they're going to consider their pillar on defense. So they
their
were able
version
to
of their Aaron Donald.
Exactly. Yeah. So they were able to do that because they made the swaps in the trades. The Titans can essentially do that. They can knock out two birds in one stone. They can possibly get their left tackle and then double back around if they want to get a defensive end, a rusher. They can get that. Or if they want to get a receiver that they deem is still first-round worthy, they can do that. So I wouldn't – if that deal came across, I would think about it long and hard because then you got to think about, well, we're here. What other teams – if you are still eyeing Oat – how can we move but yet still be in a position to get, you know, Alt? But if not Alt, then who is the next guy that you would replace him with in regards to drafting?
I think if you made that move, because the compensation who's really attractive.
I take the compensation, yeah.
And you could also try and sweeten the pot a little bit with Minnesota because you know how desperate Minnesota is for that quarterback. Mm-hmm. So I think you could even try and sweeten the pot with late round picks or picks next year as well. But I think that you would have to be okay with not getting Joe Alt.
Yeah, if you're making a move like that.
You move back to 11, I think he's gone at 9 to Chicago.
Yeah, if you move that far back, you have to anticipate on potentially losing Joe Alt. Mm-hmm. But then that's where, you know, the contingency plan comes in, and how do you rank these individuals? How far is the gap between Joe Alt and the next guy? And then how far is the gap between 2, 3, and 4?
Yeah.
You know? So to me, if you do make that move, what you're essentially saying is the gap is a little bit closer than what people may have thought in regards to us and how we've evaluated Alt in the next left tackle.
So rolling along here on the Mel Kiper, Field Yates dueling mock draft. Field Yates has the 6th overall pick. The New York Giants select Malik Nabers, which I think is a very likely scenario, which brings us to number 7, the Tennessee Titans. Drum roll, please. Joe Alt, the offensive tackle out of Notre Dame, which is zero surprise. And I laugh because every single mock draft that we've talked about and broken down has Joe Alt to the Tennessee Titans. But Mel Kiper writes, sure, an offensive lineman in back-to-back drafts might be boring for Titans fans, but did you watch Tennessee's line last season? Alt is my top-ranked tackle, and he could step in on the left side on day one. D-Mace, you might feel differently, and I might have a completely incorrect and inaccurate pulse on the fan base of what Titans fans want the Titans to do in this year's draft. I don't think Titans fans would view taking a tackle in this year's draft as boring. Sure, on paper, back-to-back tackles and, you know, last year's draft and this year's draft, that could come off as not very sexy. But I think that's where we are. I think that's how bad the offensive line was last season. Mm-hmm. The Titans fans are fired up over the idea of a franchise left tackle.
Listen, if you were to take an offensive lineman in the first round, you would take a guard in the second round, and you took a right tackle in the third or flip-flop, however, I don't think Titan fans would be mad.
I think they'd love it.
I think they would love it because you're being deliberate. Now, the Titans more than likely are not going to do that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you ask Titan fans, it's like, would you mind if the Tennessee Titans drafted offensive linemen, at least with the first 2 to 3 picks? I'm not sure a lot of people would be in disagreement. They may say, well, we need to, you know, possibly need another receiver. But as bad as that offensive line was the last 2 years, I think people were like, bring them on. Bring as many as you can, because we do not want to see a repeat of what we saw in part one, part two. We don't want the trilogy to be another bad offensive line. We want to have some redemption. We want to have a better offensive line. So if you told Titan fans, hey, listen, we're going to draft offensive line with 3 of our, 6 picks we have, I'm sure Titan fans would be like, great, let's do it.
Awesome. Cannot wait. And I really do think that it has less to do with the position itself or the name itself, because, of course, like we just mentioned, we've been talking up Joe Alt for weeks and months now. That's become a name basically synonymous with the Tennessee Titans as far as draft conversations are being had, or mock draft conversations that are being had. Joe Alt to the Titans, it just feels like every draft analyst out there views it as a no-brainer, an obvious pick. So I think it's beyond just the name and the position because, yeah, like a left tackle is not the sexiest pick in the world, or the offensive lineman is not the sexiest, most exciting pick in the world. You know, you don't think about highlights and, you know, look at that left tackle. Like, it doesn't get everybody excited. I think it's less about the position and more about what it means for Will Levis.
Yeah, it means a lot to Will that you can get his blind side protected and he doesn't have to worry about it. You know, offensive lineman, when you draft one, whether you direly need one or desperately need one or not, it's still not the exciting, you know, sexy name. With the 7th overall pick, the Titans draft tackle Chowalt out of Notre Dame. Nobody's running around.
I think Titans fans are.
They may, yeah.
Let's go!
But they're not looking at it from the standpoint of, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Man, this guy's going to score a million touchdowns and all this other stuff. But
like, offense is sexy. Scoring points is sexy.
Exactly. But then that's the byproduct of having a left tackle that's going to be there for the long haul. Is that your quarterback has time to throw the football? Is that your offensive coordinator has the confidence now to call plays? He's not worrying about whether my quarterback has enough time to throw, or if the left tackle may slip or get bull rushed and he ends up in my quarterback lap, so I can't throw the play action on this play when it's, you know, second and 15. I can't do it. I got to run the ball. No, you get your left tackle. You already got their center. They're trying to work this offensive line out. So everything is the way the offensive line operates, the touchdowns and everything else is a byproduct of that. So, you know, it's not the sexy name, but boy, oh boy, just like my clock I got long, long time ago when I got married in 97, and we looked at that clock and was like, why did somebody buy us like
this
plug-in clock, digital clock? Like, this clock was from the 1960s. And you know what? That clock still sits on my nightstand to this day.
And you never have to worry about a clock.
I never look and say, man, this clock going to run out of batteries or something. No, that clock is on point every time. Time is right every day. That's like an offensive lineman. That's like a tackle. You're like, a tackle? But then you look at 5 years later, you're like, I ain't worried about that over there. I got it.
It is the privilege of not having to worry.
Exactly.
Not having to worry about the left tackle. Not having to worry if the quarterback is going to have time to throw. Not having to worry if Tajay Spears and Tony Pollard are going to have holes to run through. Mm-hmm. Having that underlying foundation of the offensive line. It's like, okay, check it. Cool. Done. And I think it's a testament to how absolute crap the offensive line was last season that Titans fans view a left tackle and view figuring that position out as much more attractive as a Malik Nabers or a Rome Odunze, who could be, you know, future all-pro wide receivers, who do score points, who do find the paint, who do score touchdowns. Like, that is sexy in the NFL. But that's how bad the offensive line was. Mm-hmm. That it's like, yeah, you know, Malik Nabers, he's great and all. Yeah, Malik Nabers could be the next Justin freaking Jefferson. Mm-hmm. But that's not what we need right now.
Yeah, you need your left tackle.
So that is where we're going to start here is Mel Kiper and Field Yates' dueling mock draft. They have the Titans taking Joe Alt with the 7th overall pick, and it is just a continuation of every conversation, of every mock draft that we've had, of Joe Alt to the Titans. Is it really that easy? Is it just that simple? But we'll continue with what is projected in this mock draft, what the Titans are doing in the second round. And it brings up, I think, a philosophical question going into the draft as far as the Titans are concerned. And we'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, we're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.
At one point, they had the greatest offensive line in the NFL. They couldn't help them getting farther in the playoffs than they've had when they've been mediocre. The key, of course, those linemen are usually the most dependable picks. And when you have a chance to get Joe Alt, I think there's no way you could pass him up because he is as sure a thing in this draft as any player.
That was John McClain on the Chase and Big Joe show last week. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays. Hey, join Nashville Super Speedway in the city of Lebanon for Speedway on the Square this Saturday, April 20th from 1 to 6 p.m. in downtown Lebanon. Stop by and bring the family for a day filled with inflatables, face painting, balloon art, live music, and a ticket giveaway to the Ally 400 NASCAR Cup Series at 3:30 p.m. So John McClain says he thinks that Joe Alt is the most sure thing in this year's draft. I always try to caution certain vocabulary words ahead of the draft. Sure thing is one of them because nothing is a sure thing. No. That everyone's projections are exactly that, projections and predictions. And there's all of the research and the film that you can watch and the X's and O's that you can break down and the interviews that you can do. But still, players don't come to fruition, even if you do think they're a sure thing. So I always beware of that word. But I trust John McClain. If he says that Joel's a sure thing, I'll go with that evaluation.
Yeah, and it seems like that has been the consensus across the board when you're talking about Joel. Now, I would rephrase it as the most NFL ready. Because, like you said, nothing's a sure thing. Nobody, I mean, it wasn't a sure thing that Peyton Manning was going to be as great as he was. It wasn't a sure thing. Damn sure wasn't a sure thing about Tom Brady. You know, it wasn't a sure thing about Patrick Mahomes. But the attributes, the traits were all there. The numbers were trending toward that way. But you just don't know. Ryan Leaf was the same way. What happened with Ryan Leaf? You see some other quarterbacks that, you know, projected high and people thought they were ready. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden they play and they're not. Left tackles is the same thing. So to me, I would rephrase it as the guy that is the most NFL ready to play right now. Now, that may not end up with him being an all-pro at the end of his career or, you know, multiple all-pros or pro bowls or, you know, a Hall of Fame at the end of his thing. So to me, I will use that phrase. He's the most NFL ready. Now, whether he take advantage of that is yet to be seen.
So as we roll along in the Mel Kiper, Field Yates dueling mock draft, so the Titans taking Joe Alt at 7, which is not groundbreaking in the slightest. I think it's what everyone in the draft world expects the Titans to do, at least. So let's move ahead into the second round. Titans have the 38th overall pick in the draft. It's their first only pick in the second round. And this mock draft has a projected trade with the Giants. Thank you very much, Nick. A projected trade. Mm-hmm. So the Titans trade with the Giants. The Giants get 38 and 146, which is what? Sixth round? Fifth round?
Say it again. I was just
146.
Looking at, okay. Yeah, that's fourth round somewhere. Yeah, it is. No, maybe the fifth round. It may be entering the fifth round.
Late round.
Yeah.
So the Giants get 38 and 146. The Titans would get 47 later in the second round and 70 early in the third round. So with those picks, it has the Titans selecting Adisa Isaac, the edge rusher out of Penn State, with the 47th overall pick, and Junior Colson, a linebacker from Michigan, with the 70th overall pick. And I'm not going to act like I am experts on those two players in the slightest whatsoever. I'll look at the beast. I'll defer to Dane Brugler's beast. He has Adisa Isaac as the 7th-ranked edge rusher in this year's class with a 2nd-to-3rd-round grade, which would align with taking Adisa Isaac late in the second round. He has Junior Colson rated as the #1 linebacker in this year's draft with a 2nd-round grade. I think that's a little bit more indicative of this year's linebacker class than it is anything. But if the Titans can step away from the 2nd and 3rd rounds, picking up a 3rd-round pick, trading back, picking up 2 defensive players at positions of need, I wouldn't hate it.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. If indeed it fell like this, because Mel has them trading out the 7th, getting the 11th, and 11th and a 28th? 23rd. So well, essentially you picked up an extra pick in the first, and then the very next round, Phil Yates has them trading out of their spot.
38.
Yeah, and picking up an extra pick. So to me, I wouldn't be opposed to that, because now what you're doing is you're picking up 2 extra picks within the top 100, whereas before you didn't have that. Now you're able to build your team, and you're still maybe able to get the tackle that you feel is closest to Joel. If you're not able to get Joel, you're able to get that 2nd tackle, but then you're able to fill spots on your team, whether it be starters or depth, with the extra picks that you got. So if indeed it happened like that, I wouldn't mind that not one bit, because they are serving 2 purposes. Mm-hmm. They're building up their roster while plugging holes while building up their roster.
If you can step away from the top 3 rounds with a left tackle, a linebacker, and an edge rusher, well, check, 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 that at least addresses positions of need. I can't guarantee that a linebacker that you're going to find in the 3rd round is going to be a plug-and-play green dot as a rookie, you know, replaces your the hole that was created.
Well, they need an inside backer. They need a backer.
They need a backer, mm-hmm. absolutely. And I can't guarantee that a third-round backer could, you know, mm-hmm. fill that hole immediately. But at least it's, hey, we got depth here and we got an option here, and it's a guy that we feel really encouraged about. So I'm with you. I wouldn't hate that in the slightest. Mm-mm. But it brings up the question to me of quantity over quality. That I have no problem with the Titans picking up mm-hmm. more picks, because the more cracks that you get at it, I think the more opportunities that you have to hit. Mm-hmm. But I think we would have to think long and hard about it. If I'm the general manager of the Titans, if I'm drafting for the Titans, is that player that I'm going to get at 38 going to be more impactful than potentially two cracks at it with the 47th overall pick and the 70th overall pick? And I don't know. And we're not going to know until draft day. We're not going to know what players are going to be available, what players will fall early in the second round, what players might continue to fall to even later in the second round. That if the Titans might look at it and say, look, we just need to address positions more than we need, you know, a surefire thing with a 38th overall pick. See, that's what I don't know. But now we're entering the question of the philosophy of quantity over quality. What's better in this year's draft?
Well, I think you can still get quality in your quantity, but you got to be.
And that's the best of both worlds.
Exactly. But you have to have done your due diligence on these players. Now, listen, every player is not going to be a hit. I get that. But you want to make sure that you are doing what is necessary, that you don't waste one of these picks, if indeed it goes along with what Phil Yates and Mel Kiper mm-hmm. are suggesting, that they trade out of seven, they get two picks, they get two first-round picks, and then they trade out of their second-round pick and pick up two extra picks. So if you're doing that, you need to make sure that the guys that you're picking are guys that fit what you want to do. Guys that you've interviewed, guys that is going to be a part of the culture you're building within the locker room. Because I think if you find those type of guys, more than likely they will end up working out. Now, again, will they be all pro players or Pro Bowl players? Probably not. But they are key guys in what you're doing. And these are guys that you ultimately sign back mm-hmm. in 3 or 4 years. And you don't have to sign them to these huge contracts. You sign them to a good contract. Why? Because they are role players. But in having them, it helps build your team.
And drafting Pro Bowlers in the third round would be great.
Oh, absolutely.
I would take that every single day and twice on Sundays. Uh-huh. But at this point, with how many holes the Titans have on their roster, I'll take a guy who just plays clean, mm-hmm. does his job, plays well, mm-hmm. stays out of trouble, just does their job.
Yeah.
I'll take that. I'm good with that. But I think anyone would be good with that in the third
I think they would be able to do it. I'm not too concerned about having more, you know, more picks, because I'm going to trust that with more picks, it's sort of like with more power, more responsibility, uh-huh. somehow, however it goes, the saying goes, more picks comes responsibility. You got to make sure, just because I got a lot of picks, I'm not going to just, you know, grab guys all willy-nilly. I got to make sure that having these extra picks, that I zero in on the guys that we want to bring in on this team, because if they fit what we're doing, more than likely they will work out.
And the quality of the pick, too.
Exactly, absolutely.
Because it's easy to say, well, I think the Titans should trade back in the second round. Mm-hmm. How far back?
Exactly.
What's the compensation? Mm-hmm. Because a third-round pick, the 70th overall pick, that's much more valuable to me mm-hmm. than picking up multiple fifths.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Want to get into some of your thoughts on this. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Reacting to Field Yates and Mel Kiper's dueling mock draft, has the Titans taking Joe Alt with the 7th overall pick, trading back in the second round with the New York Giants, picking up the 47th overall pick. He has the Titans taking Adisa Isaac, edge rusher out of Penn State, who Dane Brugler has listed as the 7th best edge rusher in this year's draft with the 2nd to 3rd round grade, and with the 70th overall pick, a pick that they would pick up in this mm-hmm. hypothetical trade with the Giants in the second round, Junior Colson, a linebacker out of Michigan, who Dane Brugler has slated as the top linebacker in this year's draft. Let's get into some of your reaction on that. Michael in Madison, Texan, says, I don't even think J.J. McCarthy is the 4th best quarterback in this draft. If I'm Minnesota, I would pick Penix at 11. I like Michael Penix. Mm-hmm. it's the injury concern.
Yeah, and I think there are people that have, if you're just talking about the skill set, mm-hmm. him playing quarterback, I think people may have him ranked higher. But because of the injury history, that sort of knocks you down. And it seems like it's putting him, because of the injury history, it's putting him outside of the first round. Now, I can see him going in the second round. If he goes beyond the second round, I'm like, it's going to be a great pickup for somebody either way, I think. It's going to be a good pickup. But I think it's because of the injuries that Penix has fallen, you know, in this year's draft.
Another texter says, Joe Alt is the most clean, but I think there are other tackles with higher upside physically. Mm-hmm. So Dane Brugler was on with Robbie and Rexroad this morning, and he was talking about the tackles. And I believe it was Robbie that asked him about the gap between Joe Alt and mm-hmm. some of these other tackles. And Dane Brugler highlighted, look, it's not as simple as just this is the first best tackle, mm-hmm. and this is the second best tackle, and this is the third best tackle. He explained it like it's kind of like a pick your strength.
Exactly.
That if you want a better run blocker, then maybe Olufashinu is the better option for you. That if you want to, you know, if you're looking for a more complete prospect, then maybe Joe Alt is that. Like a jack of all trades and a master of none. So there very well could be tackles in this year's draft with a higher upside physically than Joe Alt has. But when it comes down to it, it's what are you looking for? What do you need in your left tackle? And if it's just best overall prospect that you can plug and play day one, which is, I think, what the Titans should be prioritizing, is who can be my left tackle in week one and who can be my left tackle for the next 10 to 15 years, then Joe Alt is that.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, he is the guy that people deem the most – I'm going to phrase it, the most NFL-ready guy. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to say he's the most sure thing, but he is the most NFL-ready guy, so I can understand.
All right, we'll continue the conversation coming up next. We'll get into some more of your phones on this. But coming up next, the Titans made a move after we went off air on Friday. What does it mean? What do we think of it? And what does it mean? Could it mean anything for what the Titans' plans are moving forward? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Hey, this week's Nashville's best deal is Prince's Hot Chicken, the original and iconic hot chicken joint. Get half off a $25 gift card right now while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. Gift card is only good for the Tanger outlets in Antioch and Inside Assembly Food Hall in downtown Nashville. We're talking tackles because every single mock draft out there has the Titans taking Joe Alt. And Mel Kiper wrote in his most recent mock draft, a dueling mock draft with Field Yates, he wrote, look, I know Titans fans, it's kind of boring when you take back-to-back tackles in the last 2 years in the first round of the draft. And I'm thinking, like, no, trust me, it's not. Like, it's not boring. Titans fans want that. Give me all the tackles. Give me all the offensive linemen. But teammates, the Titans made a move right after we got off air on Friday. Traded a 7th-round pick to the Cleveland Browns for tackle Leroy Watson. And look, I'm not going to act like I know anything about Leroy Watson. Took 55 offensive snaps last season. He was a UDFA, played for the Atlanta Falcons in his rookie season in 2022. I looked at his PFF grades, 50.
Yeah, it's hadn't played much.
Not very good, hasn't played very much. And when he has played, all of the grades look not really all that great. So it's not a move that makes you super excited. Mm-hmm. But this is the way that I look at it, D-Maze. Came from Cleveland. Mm-hmm. Who else came from Cleveland?
Bill
Callahan mm-hmm. came from Cleveland. This seems to me like a move where Bill said, look, I know him. Mm-hmm. I like him enough. It's a 7th-round pick. Bring him in. It's a move that was signed and endorsed by Bill Callahan. And if that is the case, cool. I'm good with it.
Yeah. I mean, this is a depth piece. If it works out, great. I don't see it not working out from this standpoint. I'm not saying he's going to be a starter. If he ends up a starter, I guess that would be great for the Titans because they
– Or is it bad?
It could be bad because they didn't – yeah, it could be either way. But my thing is you bring in another – because this system and the way Bill is going to be teaching it blocking-wise is going to be new to everybody because, you know, they weren't doing this blocking scheme with this coach teaching it last year. And then A lot of these, there's going to be new faces across that offensive line. So if you could bring in someone that knows, you know, that is familiar with the terminology, that understands how you like it to be taught, it helps guys in the inside that room, because now he can explain stuff too that maybe Bill isn't getting to because he has so many other people to talk, especially during camp when there's like, you know, 15 offensive linemen and you just can't get around to talking to everybody every day. So you have a guy like that that has been in a system that if they have just an off-the-wall question or just some they can ask, they can defer to him, and he can hopefully answer that question. So to me, it helps. It helps from that standpoint, but then it helps from depth too, because I think it was Brian that talked last week about the tight ends and said, listen, we only got two tight ends on the roster now, but we're going to have more. And a lot of it is just for depth pieces during camp. It's the same with the offensive line. You need you a good group of offensive linemen number-wise, because camp can be grueling. And as we know, there are injuries that happen in camp. So you need those bodies not only to play during practice, but also to play during the preseason games.
And I look at it like having a coach like Bill Callahan is so nice, because anything that he does or says or moves that feel like they're motivated by him, I can trust it.
Exactly.
Because that's the kind of caliber of coach that Bill Callahan is. That's the benefit of the doubt that Bill Callahan has deserved and has earned. And that's, you know, hey, look, I've worked with this guy in Cleveland this past year. He's a fine option. Make a trade for it. Okay, cool. Like, that's a move that I'll trust. And I will trust Bill Callahan wholeheartedly when it comes to any moves made on the offensive line, in the draft, in free agency, so on and so forth. Like when Brian Callahan came on our show and said, I think Peter Skoronski's a guard. Cool, got it. Aye, aye, Captain, because that sounded like it was coming from the desk of Bill Callahan. Skoronski's a guard? Got it. Skoronski's a guard. but I've seen a lot of questions in the text line, and I saw some conversation on Twitter after the move was made. This isn't your solution at left
tackle. Yeah, this is not, people. This is nowhere, no how a solution to the left tackle. I know some people probably looked at it and said, oh, they're not going to draft the left tackle in the first round. Now look at what they did. They went out and got it. No. If you see what they gave up, you know exactly what this was, what the purpose of this was for. It was for depth purposes pretty much only. Now, again, if this guy turns out, for whatever reason, he gets it and he turns out to be, you know, that guy at right tackle, then okay. But that wasn't our first thought when we brought him in. We brought him in because he knows the blocking scheme. He understands from a terminology standpoint, because he was in it last year. Then he's able to probably help some of these younger guys, but then it's a depth piece on our offense. So we know at least that guy, even if he's not a starter, he knows what to do.
And if the Titans view Leroy Watson, who took 55 offensive snaps last year as their option at left tackle, their savior on the offensive line that got two quarterbacks hurt last year, then my goodness, Jesus, take the wheel. This doesn't change the Titans' draft strategy. This is not the solution at left tackle. This is simply, like you said, D-Maze, it's a depth piece that your offensive line coach knows, that knows your offensive line coach. You bring him in, and he's an option as a depth piece, and that is simply it. Like Wes in Clarksville, Texan, says draft picks need to be used for starters, not depth pieces. It's a seventh-round pick.
They gave up a seventh round. So essentially, they felt that the guy they were getting was more than likely going to be better than the guy that they would have drafted in the seventh round. Plus, I have a history, Bill, with this guy. I saw something in him as a young player that I would rather work with him than whoever you may get in the seventh round. And it may not even turn out to be an offensive lineman. It may turn out to be a kicker or something. So why? At least we have someone.
Don't you be bad-mouthing the kickers now, D-Maze.
At least we have someone that I know as an offensive line coach, a guy that has been in my system. So I would take that over the unknown in a seventh-round pick.
1,000%. 1,000%. And the player that you would have taken with the seventh-round pick, I have to guess, would probably also be a depth piece. At the very
best. Same thing.
there's always upside, and you never know that, you know, guys that are taken late in the draft or undrafted free agents, they turn into being, you know, solid starting pieces. I understand that. I acknowledge that. Crazier things have happened in this league. Mm-hmm. But I will take Bill Callahan's word over anybody else's. I will take experience with Bill Callahan and trust that Bill Callahan has in that player over a complete unknown in the seventh. It's the seventh round pick. Yeah. Like, if he turns out to be something, great. If he doesn't, whatever. It's a seventh round pick.
But you still, it's what it essentially is, when you're in the seventh round that late, it's basically close to an undrafted guy. So if I give up my seventh round pick, that's not much. I can always, you know, go into the undrafted pool, invite these guys to camp, and then they got to discuss it with their agent whether they would come or not. Look at the numbers. If it benefits you and you think you got an opportunity to earn your spot, then come here. That means I don't have to waste a draft pick on you. Mm-hmm. You can come in as an undrafted free agent.
And how nice is it to have an offensive line coach that you can say, all right, trust you?
Oh, yeah. We hadn't had that since, Mike Munchak. Yeah.
It's been a minute.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
It's a nice feeling to just say, okay, sure, Leroy Watson.
Russ Grimm was
totally.
Was Russ Grimm pretty good here? I can't remember the years he coached the offensive line to how they looked. But looking back at the O-line coaches, Mike Munchak is the guy. So
that was trust that we simply did not have in Jason Hoadley.
Now we got it back. Yes.
All right, coming up next, we've been talking all hour about how every mock draft has Joe Alt to the Titans. How so many of our conversations about the draft have been dominated by, if Joe Alt's there, you got to take Joe Alt. That's the biggest position of need for the Titans. It was a glaring hole for the Titans last season. But not every NFL draft guru thinks it's as simple as that. Not every draft guru believes that Joe Alt should be the Titans' answer. We'll get into that coming up next. We'll get into your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 1025-1063 The Game.